You have to trust that the dots will somehow connect in your future. You have to trust in something. Your gut, destiny, life, karma, whatever.
Stay hungry.
Hungry. Stay hungry, stay foolish.
This is the E-Commerce All-Stars podcast, brought to you with heart by Nedimo.com.
Hey everyone, thanks for joining today's show. Today I'm excited because I have Kaylee Moore from KayleeMoore.com. She's a freelance writer, and her specialty really lies in SaaS and e-commerce content. So that's why I was excited to get her on the show today. Thanks for joining us today, Kaylee.
Thanks for having me.
Well, it's my pleasure. I heard you on another podcast, and I thought I have to have you on because you cover some really great content. And so I'm going to spin it in a little bit. It may have even been a webinar I heard you on, but regardless, you're really good. And I think there's some excellent information that you'll be able to share with our guests here today. That said, before we get too far in, I like to always kind of start off with who are you and what got you started in the industry so people can kind of get to know you a little bit better.
Sure. So I have been freelance writing full time for about 4 years now. Actually, this month is actually my 4 month anniversary. So that's exciting.
Congratulations.
Thank you. But before that, I did a lot of different things. And for about 5 years, I owned my own e-commerce business. So that gave me a little bit of background to pull from when I started to do other things later on. But I did a couple different things. I worked in PR for a while. I did some freelance writing for different magazines and things like that. And I didn't start freelancing full time until I was about 2.5 years into my full time career as a PR person. And I had been doing it on the side for a while. And I had this experience within the e-commerce world and was doing some blogging, was doing some social media stuff. And over time, I actually got to the point where I was making more doing stuff on the side than I was at the PR job. So I quit that. I started freelancing full time. Like I said, it was about 4 years ago. And since then, I've really shifted my focus to mostly creating blog content for SaaS companies and then for e-commerce platforms. So some of the people that I work with are folks like Big Commerce or Big Cartel, and then some of the software companies that really kind of go hand in hand with those companies are places like Campaign Monitor or Get Feedback or a lot of the companies that have integrations for platforms like Big Commerce and Big Cartel and places like that. So there's a lot of overlap between the two, and most of the time I'm making things for their blogs and creating just really actionable, value-packed content for the audiences that they're targeting. That's what I've been doing for about 4 years, and I really love this industry. I think there's a lot of interesting things happening in it right now, and I'm just very happy that this is where I've settled in and where I just kind of naturally landed. Because my original journey into SaaS was kind of funny. It actually all started from a Twitter conversation. I just randomly had an interaction with a content manager who was working at a software company, and she was looking for a freelance writer to hire. So she was my first SaaS client. And from there, it just kind of snowballed into referrals. And so I just kind of naturally fell into that world as well, which was a very good fit, and it turned out very well. So that's my short story without getting too rambly.
Right on. No, I think it's interesting that, you know, your first little SaaS client, not little, but your first SaaS client came from a Twitter conversation, because I'm a big believer in Twitter for certain aspects. I mean, Twitter's not for everyone, but I do think that it's a great tool. And I've started a lot of conversations and gotten a lot of business started either for myself or for other people through Twitter. So that's kind of a neat piece there. I also find Twitter's nice to be a nice place to push your content out to, so that people can see it. But anyway, those are just my random thoughts there. One of the things that I wanted to talk to you about, Now, really, on your website, it says your specialty is writing value-packed blog content for SaaS and e-commerce companies. And as I mentioned to you before the show, SaaS and e-commerce really, in many, many ways, overlap. To me, a SaaS is you're selling a service online, you're still taking transactions online, et cetera, et cetera. And e-commerce, you're selling product. Or, and the product could be digital or whatever it may be. Could be coffee. I'm just looking at your picture here, and you have a big coffee mug beside you. So that's what came up. But one of the things that I do find is that a lot of my clients in the e-commerce world struggle with what to do, content in general. And so one of the things that I had heard you talking about was specific to that, and that is how to find exactly what your customers want to read and spotting trends and patterns and topics, that sort of thing. So I was hoping you could share with us some of your thoughts and ideas in that regard.
Yeah, happy to. So like you said, there are a lot of clients that I work with or that either come to me and want some strategy or some guidance. And the question that they all have is, what in the world are we supposed to write about for our blog? You know, we don't want to just be dumping money into this. We're hiring freelancers or we're tying up team resources to create this content, but it's not doing what we need it to do. My first recommendation is to poll the audience and to really ask them what it is that they want from you as a company. You know, you can't truly know what your audience wants to read from you unless you ask them and you give them a voice and an opportunity to share that with you. So that's always my first recommendation, is to use some sort of a survey tool or do some one-on-one calls with your target audience, or even do a little focus group with the people that you're really trying to connect with and reach, and ask them those questions about content, about, you know, what types of posts do you want to see more of in the future, or what do you want to see less of, or what are the big questions that you have maybe that we could answer with in-depth blog posts or how-tos or process walkthroughs, things like that. That's especially helpful, I think, for companies who have digital products or a service or something that's a little bit complex. Sometimes creating those pieces of content can be extremely valuable for the audience. And it's just something that they didn't even think about doing because they were in their own mindset on, this is what we're going to do. These are our marketing objectives. We're going to shape our content around what we want to accomplish. And unfortunately, a lot of the time that just doesn't translate because the audience wants and needs something that's very, very different. So it's not until you actually give the audience a voice and ask them those questions that you can have a good, strong strategy and path towards building better content that's going to produce results. So that's the first step in that process.
That's really interesting, because a lot of people I've spoken to in regards to, you know, conversion optimization and those types of things too, always say ask your customers, because that's going to allow you to curtail a lot of the copy on the website itself as well towards what their needs are and what they're looking for. And really, to me, it all comes down to understanding your customer, the whole process through from what you're going to provide them from content to being able to offer them the right product. So that's really important. Now, you mentioned, do you have any, I think you had a couple specific points in what you just said, but could you reiterate some of the ways that people can go, like even just some of the simpler ways to solicit this type of information?
Yeah, the way I do it is to just use a really simple type form or SurveyMonkey survey. And I start with my email subscribers first. And then I also reach out to other people who maybe are participating in forums that are relevant and ask them questions if they're willing to share some insight. I think just starting with a simple survey is a really good way to jumpstart the process. If you aren't having a ton of luck with that, you could also consider focus groups with your target audience. Sometimes that can be a little bit more expensive, a little more time intensive, but it often produces really strong insights that you can then use and harness to make your content better in the future. And you can also just, like I said, you know, find the places where your target audience is spending time, whether it's a forum or a website, or maybe it's an in-person meeting even. Sometimes it's just a matter of finding those people and asking them the questions and really documenting the responses and looking for the patterns and trends that you find, and kind of the common ground that points in the direction of, oh, well, this is what we should be doing in the future with our content. These are the things that we need to write about. That's a really great way to get started. And we can't also forget, sometimes it's just good to pick up the phone and call. If you have some phone numbers, if you have some past customers even, who are really loyal, strong supporters of you, ask them. That's a good place to start as well. They might have some interesting thoughts that you had never thought about yourself before. So taking the steps to get the right feedback, writing it down, and then looking for the patterns and trends, that's kind of the 1, 2, 3 of this, getting this process started. And then from there, you can start to prioritize content. You can look for kind of the common language and even the terms that the people are using. Maybe you find that that's a better way, like you said, for website copy to communicate with the people you're trying to reach. Maybe you're not using the right language or the right words. So recording and taking a lot of notes during this process is a nice way to find those little tidbits of information that seem small and seem kind of trivial at times, but can really make a big difference.
Right on. And what... I'm trying to take in everything you've said because there's quite a lot of value packed into what you just mentioned. You mentioned prioritize, which made me think a little bit about your content schedule and that sort of thing. But once you've gone ahead and gotten all this information, there's also like identifying trends in what they've said, but maybe more of a global trend online. Or in the types of like news events or those types of things that you might be able to piggyback on. What are your thoughts in regards to maybe, I guess, the next step once you've gotten this information from them?
I think what you said is exactly spot on. I think once you have that really rich data that you can pull from your target audience, I think the next things to think about are what's happening in the news within your industry. What are some kind of timely topics that you can bring a new angle to? Or what are some data points that you can pull together to maybe illustrate a point that nobody is making yet? Or what is something new that's coming to the niche that you're in or the marketplace that you're in that your customers need to know about? I think that if you can incorporate those things into your writing, I think that that makes it much more relevant to your audience. It also helps build your authority fairly quickly because then your readers come to know you as a source of really valuable information that's very timely and that's kind of on the cutting edge of things that are happening in your industry. And then I think the other element you have to consider in all this is what kind of personal stories can you integrate to this as well? So do you have any personal experiences from whatever it is that you're writing about that you can tie in? I think that even if it's a failure story, you know, sometimes we only want to talk about the good things that happen, but even if you can illustrate a time that you messed up or made a mistake or that you worked through a problem, I think that those are really valuable things to incorporate into blog content as well for any industry, because ultimately, at the end of the day, the other person on the other side of the screen is a human just like you are. And so that helps us connect with each other a little bit better when there's that element of storytelling and just, you know, being real, being honest, sharing the good and the bad. I think that that's a really genuine and sincere way to connect with the audience and to help build trust fairly quickly. A lot of the time that gets left out of blog content. And so we get these kind of stale, underperforming pieces of content and blog posts that don't really go anywhere. But the posts that I always see do really well are the ones that include some sort of story, even if it's not a personal story. You know, you're not going to have one of those every single time. But whenever there's some sort of story tied in, it's just more interesting. I think it's just the way the human mind works. We love stories. We connect with people. So when we can integrate those, that makes it makes it more valuable and it makes it more interesting. And then that produces better results.
Yeah, one of the things you just mentioned there, well, three words that always hold very close to my heart is genuine and sincere and trust. And when people read an article or they listen to a podcast or watch a webinar, they can sense your genuinity or your sincerity, and or lack thereof. If you're just trying to get a sale out of whatever it is you're producing content-wise, people can sense that and feel that, and okay, you might close a deal or get what you want out of it, but it's not gonna last long term, in my opinion, because you really haven't formed a level of trust necessarily. And I think those three go so hand in hand. So I'm glad you mentioned those three words, and you talked about it in such a good way, because I too find that, you know, I like to share my stories of failures as well, because quite honestly, we all have them, and I want people to feel a little bit better about themselves every day, and to know that someone else is out there and has struggled with the same things they've struggled with, or made a really stupid mistake, you know, and they're sitting there and they can laugh at what a dumb mistake that was, then it makes their little problem seem so much smaller. And so, again, you build that, there's a connection that starts to form just through the words on the page or on the screen. And that's my thoughts anyways in that regard.
Yeah, I totally agree with that, though. I think people have a pretty good meter for sensing sincerity and sensing when you're just trying to get them to buy something. I think the bar is fairly low for detecting that, especially with how competitive it is these days. There's so many blog posts and so many pieces of content published every single day that people are kind of jaded in general, you know, when they go to read something like that. So if you can be one of the exceptional people who has a unique writing voice and shares the good and the bad and has that sense of trust with the audience, I think that that makes you special, and it makes you stand out amongst all the noise that there is right now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You mentioned, you did mention, was it content schedules? And I hear a lot of people talk about them. I've always struggled with content schedules. Do you have any tips on that?
Yeah, I've seen a lot of people use a lot of different tools. A lot of the clients I work with use something like Trello or CoSchedule just to kind of map things out. That's usually for larger teams when there's a lot of people who are working together and there's a lot of content that needs to be produced. If you're a smaller team, I think it can be as simple as a Google Doc or a Google Sheet where you just have kind of a prioritized list of things that you want to write about, you know, hopefully from that survey data that you collected. But yeah, it just helps you kind of stay regular and always have a next topic that you can be thinking about. Having that running list, even like I said, even if it's just a Google Doc, it's just literally a list of topics that you want to cover or stories that you want to tell. I think that that helps keep you from scrambling at the last minute and just kind of throwing something together. But I do think it's important to remember that, you know, a lot of people want to stay on a regular schedule, and there is some value in consistency. That's for sure. Like for me, I publish on my blog every other Wednesday, so it's a fairly low commitment. But some people are of the mindset that you only write and you only publish when you have something valuable to share. You know, you're not just writing for writing's sake. And I think there's something to be said for that as well. I think that that's kind of a noble approach, and that kind of ensures that you're only writing when you have something really, really good and something really, really valuable that you've spent time on and that you feel like is worth sharing. So it depends, you know, it's different for every company. It's different for every individual. It really depends also on what you're trying to accomplish. Are you just educating with your blog? Are you really trying to push sales with it? You know, there's different objectives for every team. So there are a lot of different ways you can tackle it. There's a lot of great tools out there, but I think just kind of remembering that rule of let's only publish really great stuff rather than trying to publish, you know, a lot of quantity over quality. I think that that's kind of a good rule of thumb. Just, you know, focus on writing things and producing things that are going to be valuable and are going to be worth sharing rather than just doing it for the sake of doing it.
And to be honest with that regard, I think when you're in a smaller team, especially, if you're writing about something that you're passionate about or something that you're excited to share with people, That allows, that's going to help you create that quality content, and then that also helps you determine whether or not it's a decent piece of content. I mean, there's been, I've only missed 1 week, to be honest, with my podcasts, because I do them every week. I missed 1 week because I didn't have a quality show that I was happy with putting out. And so I decided in that case, you know what, I'd rather not put anything out than put out something that I wasn't happy with. And I think it's, like you said, it's very important that it's content, then the quality of the content needs to be there.
It does, especially when you're working so hard to get people to trust you. You know, you want to keep that trust and always be delivering something that's worth their time. You know, when you let that fall off and you just are kind of winging it, I think, again, people have a pretty good sense for when that's happening. And that's something that can very quickly eat away at that trust that you worked so hard to build.
Yes, exactly. You mentioned in the very, very beginning, you said that you're excited about a lot of the things that are going on in the industry. And so I'd like to ask you basically, what are some of the trends that you're seeing, things you're finding that are going on out there, and what it is that's exciting to you?
So specifically in regard to e-commerce, some of the things that I'm really excited about right now, number one is mobile shopping. I'm seeing that be a huge trend, especially with early data from the Black Friday weekend. Mobile sales are up. And I know I personally use my phone a lot to not only research, which is kind of what people said in the past, you know, shoppers were doing with their cell phones or with their smartphones. Sorry, I just called it the right thing. But yeah, so I think that that's great. I think that it's important for e-commerce retailers to keep that in mind with their sites, you know, mobile optimization, mobile UX, making sure that it's a great experience for online shoppers who are on their phones or on their mobile devices, wherever they are, you know, whether it's in the car or sitting at home on the couch. I think the way that people are shop is changing a lot. And not even just mobile shopping, it's mobile wallets too. The way that people pay for shopping online is changing a lot as well. So I know that that's another thing to consider for retailers or for online merchants is what kind of mobile payments do you have and how easy are you making it for people to check out on your site, regardless of what device they're on. So it's been really interesting to kind of dive into the research and to see how things are changing. I don't think that that's a trend that's going to be going away anytime soon. I think it's going to continue to be on the rise and, you know, people are more connected than ever to their smartphones. So I think that just really getting ahead of the curve and optimizing for that behavior is a smart move for anybody who has an online store. The other big thing that I think is really interesting that I'm seeing more of is, I don't know, it's a very intense, very, we've thought of everything, desktop experience. So everything, people are creating everything from buyer's guides to find the right product to including videos instead of just static images on their product pages. You can literally find everything you need to find for certain websites. And I think that that's so great because for me, I don't want to go to the store anymore. I don't want to go to a physical retail store. I am very happy to stay at home in my pajamas and shop from home because I can get all the details and I'm not missing anything by not being in the store. So I think that those kind of rich data points on e-commerce websites is really interesting to see. And I hope that that continues because I personally benefit from it. But yeah, those are the big two for me right now of trends and kind of things that are happening right now in the e-commerce world.
Awesome. And I would agree with that. I think that what I've seen a lot more of as well with regards to mobile is more effort spent on the mobile side of the checkout so that people can, I mean, initially they just want to make their sites mobile friendly. But then the checkouts were horrible and you couldn't even check out. So then you have to go home and get on your desktop to make the purchase. And they probably were losing transactions that way.
Definitely.
So that's one of the, I would totally agree with those two trends. And they're very interesting to me as well. So Kaylee, this has been a great conversation. I appreciate all of your thoughts and input. Two last questions for you that I always like to throw at people is, A, how can people get a hold of you? I know kayleemoore.com is one way, but by all means, I'd like you to share that contact information with everyone, as well as any parting words of wisdom.
So the best way to get in touch with me is through Twitter. Like I mentioned, I spend a lot of time there. My Twitter handle is @KayleeF, which is kind of hard to spell. So I hope that that link is in the show notes or something like that. Nobody ever spells
Absolutely.
My name right. and then my parting words of wisdom. Good question. I would say tell more stories. I think that that's my biggest tip. And that's something we talked a little bit about today is really telling the good and the bad, adding a human element to your content, just being a real person. I feel like that's so lacking today from a lot of elements of e-commerce. We don't see a whole lot of that. It's just all about sales. So if you can be somebody who really showcases the person behind the brand and connects with people as a person, as a human person, I think that that's an amazing thing to do. I think it's good for sales. I think it's good for transparency. And I would highly recommend it to anybody who's kind of on the fence about, should I be more, you know, transparent? Should I be more me with my brand? I think you definitely should. So that's my tip.
I love that. And that's very true. And I would back you up 100% on that and echo that. Like anyone who's thinking about, should I put myself out there more? Yes.
Yeah, do it. Do it.
Yeah. Don't be scared of it. I mean, okay, if somebody doesn't like the fact that you did that, then the truth is that's probably not your ideal client. Anyways, you probably want to work with somebody else because you want to work with people who appreciate and understand what you're trying to do. That's just my thoughts.
Absolutely. I agree 100%.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being on the show. You were awesome. You were a great guest, and I will stay in contact on Twitter with you as well.
Thank you so much.
You have to trust that the dots will somehow connect in your future. You have to trust in something. Your gut, destiny, life, karma, whatever.
Stay hungry.
Hungry. Stay hungry, stay foolish.
This is the E-Commerce All-Stars podcast, brought to you with heart by Nedimo.com.